الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون، أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. As we have explained in this ayat kareema, Allah Ta'ala has made fasting, keeping rozas, saum, farad upon us, upon the ummah. And the saum, which according to the fuqaha is defined that a person abstains from eating, drinking, satisfying his carnal desires from subah sadiq till sunset, that roza will be made, the farad will have been fulfilled. But the ulama and the mashayikh write that a complete roza is one that is roza of every part of the body also. And roza fasting is not only staying hungry, it's not just abstaining from food, not a hunger strike, not just staying hungry, but it is an ibadat. And an ibadat really is when all the essentials of that ibadat are also fulfilled. Performance of namaz, just the outward namaz, namaz will be performed. And hopefully we won't be questioned on the day of Qiyamah that you did not perform your namaz, your salat. But salat, with all its requisites, iqamati salah, that will deliver the goods of what salat is. Such a namaz salat will become qurratul ayn, the coolness of the eyes. Such a salat will bring a person that he won't want to lift his head from sajda. The enjoyment he will get in making sajda. And he will enjoy further all his namaz, all his ibadat. Same thing with saum, with fasting also. How much we will keep our rozas as we are required to keep, then we will get the enjoyment. For that we usually give this two examples. One is, we just have the structure of a building. Basics of the building are done, but the finishing is not done. We are not prepared to stay there also. We want to have all the finishing also done. Or if a person is in business and he buys for 5 rands and sell for 5 rands, he's making no profit, that person won't be in business for long. He might be the busiest man for a few days, but he'll be the first man out of business also. So like that, rozas, if we just do the basics, then we find many people who keep a few rozas and then they don't keep anymore. They'll make a few days taraweeh, then they don't make taraweeh anymore. They'll come back towards the end again, because they did not get the enjoyment of it. When a person, and the enjoyment comes when the roza is really a roza, and you see the benefits, the fruit you are getting from your roza. The same thing with namaz. When a person will see the enjoyment of namaz, and more than the enjoyment, that by namaz, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. When namaz will deliver that goods, when, for example, a person tries very hard to give up gunas, to solve his problems, but he finds he can't, it is becoming more difficult. But if he works on his namaz will solve all his problems. His namaz will do it. Then he'll see, my namaz is doing everything. When a person sees that, then he will become a more greater devotee of namaz. That he's seeing. The same thing, roza, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you acquire taqwa. When this taqwa will start coming in a person, and then he will see the benefit. Like if a person is a diabetic and he gets cured from it. While he was a diabetic, getting very tired, vision is blurred, many other problems are in his body, he's got no lot of lethargy, doesn't feel like, doesn't, can't do anything. Now when he's cured, he's again energized. He feels the difference. Then he will say that cure really worked. So like that, when roza will save us from all the gunas, etc., which we are involved in. And every person who is a little bit conscious of about himself, his deen, his spiritual side, that person also all the time he is worried that I'm in this guna, I'm in that guna. And when he keeps his rozas properly and he sees he's now saved, and in fact he's built an hatred for the gunas, no more that enjoyment in gunas, and now he enjoys his ibadat. Before namaz, if he was a pious person, righteous, making salah, but as a duty, it was hard for him. He wasn't enjoying making his namaz. Now when he starts enjoying it, how much won't he appreciate? So to say, like for example, which is a common thing, sports with many of us, and the kuffar sports, and just supporting a certain team, or all that, that is it's such a terrible guna. But, and so not only sugar-coated, but worse than honey-coated. It's so enjoyable. And a person feels there is nothing wrong in it also. And he enjoys talking about it. But the day that hatred for that will come, and he'll enjoy that hatred for that, for the kuffar sports, etc., for all their lifestyle, all their way of doing things, when he'll get that hatred. And when he starts building the enjoyment, not only for the faraid, but even for the nawafil, and for sunnat, he becomes a die-hard. The enjoyment he will get in this. Then he'll say, this, my roza gave me this, my dhikr gave me this, my namaz gave me this. That is the time when a person will enjoy. So in order to make our rozas, our fasting, and with that, all the other aspects. During this month, our namaz also we must work on. That our namaz becomes proper according to sunnah. And what is called iqamat salah is not just to perform salah, but to establish the namaz with all the requirements. Fuqaha have written that iqamat salah with all its requirements. And that there are many things. Performing it on its time and on the sunnah time, which today also unfortunately by the trustees, mutawallis of the masjids, the imams of masjids, we want to make namaz in its awwal time. And like for example Isha, make it in its awwal time. And we just want to sort of get done with it. But the namaz which is according to sunnah and according to our madhab, if we are Hanafis, the vast majority of us are Hanafis. There are Shafis also. For Shafis, awwal work, no. But according to the madhab, what is the time of the namaz? We should try and adhere to that. According to the Ahnaf, the time of our namazes, we should try to adhere. And if there is a reason for changing, then we should that has to be done with proper consensus and deep thought. But otherwise, the basic teachings of our madhab we should follow. Then namaz with all its other aspects also. Every aspect of namaz, and just as we do understand and everyone accepts the radiation of a cell phone, negative radiation of a microwave oven, etc. These things have got negative. Every posture of namaz also has got radiation, spiritual radiation. And we will get the full benefit when we will do it according to how it is done. The ruku, the sajda, and there are so many adab in all this. Just the eyes alone, where they must be focused. That also. Then the inside of our namaz will also be corrected. Like for example, in namaz, to fasten the hand, to raise the hands right up to the ear lobes. And the best is the correct, that our thumbs touch the ear lobes. And then fasten the hands under the navel. And that also our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, that just drop your hands, fasten them and just drop them. Automatically they will be below the navel. And Hazrat used to say in his beautiful way, when you start your namaz, now don't take your finger and look for your navel. Somebody saying, now what's this person doing here? And then you fasten your hand below the navel. You just drop your hands, Allah has made it will be below the navel. And then Hazrat used to explain the fastening of the hand. And Hazrat should give the example, like in the aeroplane, they show you on the screen nowadays, the fastening of the seat belt, and how it fits in properly. And you see so neatly, like that, the fingers, the three fingers here on top, with your thumb and your small fingers, you clasp your hand. And these fingers must be behind this hand, properly like this. And if we don't, many of us, and this is again another little explanation, but as a person carries on with namaz in his life, he becomes like a seasoned, experienced namazi. He goes into one of two directions. One direction is he starts becoming lax in his namaz. Such a person, you'll see, just pick up his hands like that and he fastens his hands. Hands he has fastened, you'll see normally this hand is laying at the bottom. These fingers are like this, you fastening your hand. Like you have become lax now. In your namaz, you are moving a bit around also, like you have become old pals with Allah Ta'ala. Now you don't, namaz is now like in the bag, and it's alright, namaz is alright. When you go in ruku also, in a very like a lethargic way, and without excuse. If you are excused, that's a different thing, but without any excuse. Now your namaz, in namaz, while standing also, you're moving around, like a very relaxed way. In that way, you are going further and further. The more you are going in your namaz, the more further. The other is that you're becoming more conscious of the presence of Allah Ta'ala. More adab, more respect in your namaz. As you are becoming a more, over the years, you're a 5-year namazi, now you're a 20-year namazi, now you're a 30-year namazi, the quality of your namaz is improving all the time. And in fact, one of the signs of that is, automatically, no matter which great allama you are, questions will start coming in your mind, that this, how should I do this? This, how should I do it? You'll go and check kitabs, you will speak to ulama, you'll speak to the ulama, to the mashayikh, because usually they are the ones in that direction who are concerned of their namaz, etc. That now, how is my namaz more correct, more better? The sunnah you will become. And the fastening of the hand is like the seat belt. If we don't fasten, the aeroplane that starts, when it starts moving on the runway, it takes off at a speed of around about 300 kilometers per hour. And when it is up in the air, it has reached its height, then it's traveling at about 900 kilometers an hour. So it's much more faster. So if you don't fasten your seat belt, and you are going up to the about 10 kilometers up, 8-10 kilometers the aeroplane flies up in the air. If you're just going to that level, and if you did not fasten your seat belt, something has to happen, you can well imagine what your condition will be. So we in namaz, in as-salatu, mi'rajul mu'min, is the mi'raj of a mu'min. You are going to the highest height. And in sajda, you will be the closest to Allah Ta'ala. A person is the closest to Allah when he's in sajda. And if we didn't fasten our seat belt properly, then that person falls out of namaz. Consequently, most of us, we have this problem, no concentration in namaz, because we fell out of namaz. We fell out of the aeroplane. Hey, now we are not there, so now that concentration is not there. And that becomes a major problem. So we should fasten our seat belt. That is, the hands, we should fasten them properly. And then see how it will help our concentration in namaz also. Every action of namaz, outward action, has got a direct effect on our inside condition. And our inside condition will affect our outside. How much a person is concentrating, you'll see automatically that person won't be scratching his beard now. Won't be putting his topi right now. He won't be all the extra amal. Well, if it goes to amal kathir, namaz breaks also. But he won't be doing one thing also, which is namaz, which is for sukoon. And that is basically, again we see the ahnaf namaz, where there is almost all sukoon in the namaz. So namaz should have as much sukoon as possible. That is sukoon to be, what will be the word? That you don't making extra movements. Like for example, you going into ruku, then when you from the standing position, your hands were flattened. Now you're going in ruku, your hands will go directly onto your knees. Now they won't first fall on the sides, and after that go to the knees. All will be less. The sukoon will be there in the namaz. There isn't even rafi yadain in the namaz of the ahnaf. All those things we will do where there is less movement. Only the essential movement of namaz, we will comply with that. So all this will have an effect on the inside. And when namaz starts becoming namaz, salat, and then we will get the enjoyment, more than the enjoyment, the benefits of namaz we will see. Then it will dawn on us that any problem, difficulty that comes in our lives, I have to resort to salah. I have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, as pious as we are, when problems come, we seldom resort to namaz. We will resort to the hospital, first doctor we will think, emergency case, rush to hospital, all those things will come to our mind, but namaz, that seldom will come to our mind. So if we start working on this, then that connection, and then we will see how namaz will sort out our problems also. Maulana Yusuf Tutla Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, when he became ill, and they had to take him to hospital. He said, first let me make two rakats of namaz. And then he made his two rakats and then he passed away. So he reached his destination after making two rakats of namaz. And what a destination he reached. So the namaz, the value of it will come into us. So Allah give us tawfiq. So now, there isn't a month of namaz, like special roza, 1 month. Namaz is throughout the year. Rozas also we can keep, but for us, rozas are only for this month here. So this month is exclusive, and therefore we speak more about rozas, etc., but we should continuously be making effort on our namaz also, to correct our namaz, and that our namaz is according to sunnah, and we should endeavor in that direction, become conscious of it, and Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. So rozas, we explained about the rozas of the eyes, and in that again, very briefly, hopefully, that one is not to look at haram, which we normally take is looking at woman, which is definitely the haram. Other woman, strange woman, we should not look. And in that also, we should be careful in the many times, many a person who has got outward shariat within him. For example, sunnat libas, beard, topi, amama also, everything. But many times it is just the outward form. But the inside is still according to Western standards. The outer end, the enemies of Islam, Shaitan, who is our arch enemy, and all our outward enemies, all his agents, and his jailers, they also would tolerate our outward form of Islam, but from inside, that you be on their side. So your thinking is like them stuff. Your doing of things is like them. But you just give it an Islamic front. Like banking is their way, that you're doing banking, but you give it an Islamic front, the name of Islam. And you just give it some technical Islamic names, but basically it is still their thing. You play sports, but you just keep their thing outwardly, that you still keep your beard also and you are playing sports. And our people also think this person is a reasonable person. That he doesn't abandon or shun sport. And that is fully their lifestyle. All we do their things, but we just try and give it an Islamic flavor, an Islamic covering, like that. So like that, our rozas also, just outwardly we are keeping roza, but inside we are still doing all their things. So the roza of the eyes also, that we keep roza, not looking at any of the haram which is there, and also not looking at their lifestyle, how they do things, and we want to adopt that. Also, that we don't look down upon anyone. and all the other gunas that go with the eyes. If we make this little effort in this month and we get saved from the gunas of the eyes, that person, for example, one great benefit which anyone will can try it out for himself also. Whatever relationship we're having with our wife, if we keep control of the eyes, we will see the relationship with the wife will just improve automatically. More love for the wife, more consideration. Otherwise, our condition is such generally that a person doesn't get enjoyment looking at his own wife. And he gets great enjoyment looking at other women. That is, according to the gunas are like that. Zuyyina linnas hubbu shahawat minan nisa. All the details, that is there. But when deen will come, then the hatred of that, when the reality of the roza, part of it, roza of the eyes, then a person will hate looking at her. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, such a person, that if they force him to look, and they pull his eyes open, he'll be looking, but he won't be looking. He'll see, but nothing will register by him. Even if they show him all the other women, it won't register with him. A person will reach that stage. And we see our mashayikh also, that how Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, at Karachi Airport, when his wheelchair was facing where all the passengers were moving, and their women, and how they are dressing, he asked his wheelchair to be turned. Otherwise, you can say it's helpless now. You are sitting there, so you are looking, or you're just looking down. But he had his whole wheelchair moved. So a person will look forward to that and get enjoyment in Sharia. Sharia won't be a bane. It won't be a difficulty. It won't be a thing that I have to do. I'm a Muslim. I have to do it. But with enjoyment and enthusiasm, a person will do. Then, of course, then the roza of the tongue, a little bit we spoke, which is also so important, the control of the tongue. And very fortunate is that person who has been blessed with the control of the tongue. And he himself will realize it. Many a times, many a person will say that I should have said this, I shouldn't have said this. Why did I say this? You just said that you didn't have the control of the tongue, you told your wife something, and there she has gone bitter now. And perhaps in 3 days, 3 months, 3 weeks, she'll come right again. But that mark in her heart has remained forever. And it will come back every time something happens, it will come back again. So the control of the tongue is very, very important. The control of the ear, that also we have to do. What is haram to speak is haram to listen also. So we shouldn't listen to all that also. Then roza of the mind and the heart, that also is very important. Generally we speak of wasawis in that area, that the wasawis that we get, how to control that. And this is the ideal time. And a person who gets najat, and who gets salvation from this wasawis, has also got a great achievement. These thoughts which come to a person, they are occupying your mind. They are occupying your heart all the time. And in that place, if you get the thoughts of Allah, what to say now? You get the thoughts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, the awliya, the ulama, all the great people, all those thoughts, the enjoyments of deen. In fact, now in place of that wasawis, Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikra. Now if Allah opens up to you the sarair, the secrets of deen, the secrets of the reality of deen, and now you are see, and this is really for a person who has got nisbat with Allah. Then Allah starts opening the secrets. And those secrets are such that a person, he starts enjoying his deen. And his wuzu he enjoys. Making stinja correctly he enjoys. He sees the great benefits of all. And ayat of Quran, our Shaykh's kitab, Anmol Khazain, not Anmol Khazain, the other one of the hadith and Khazain al-Quran and Khazain al-Hadith. All the treasures which we will just read as the outward hadith. But what the secrets Allah has kept in there. And they start coming out to a person. And many times Hazrat should say, this is, and we read of the kitabs of the great Busur, that Allah khasfani bihada. Allah has blessed me, made, given it this, especially to me. When Allah opens, when you see the sarair, the beautiful secrets from the works of the ulama, and it's sort of just, you get overtaken with it, that what beautiful teachings they are. Just one example which we have said many times, this one atheist professor who told the students in his class that the Quran Sharif is not the word of Allah, na'uzu billah, because of errors. And one error that he, and aside, yani, eloquence of speech is concerned. He said that where Allah Ta'ala says that مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ Allah has not made for any man two hearts. So why did Allah say رَجُلٍ? Allah should say لِإِمْرِينَ لِأَحَدٍ, for anyone. And a young boy, student, he stood up, he said, sir, when a woman is expecting and she's got a baby in her, then there are two hearts in her. A man can never have two hearts. He doesn't become pregnant, and he doesn't expect. But a woman can have twins also. And then there are three hearts in her. Triplets, then there are four hearts within her, fi jofi, in her inside. So like that, the secrets of the Quran, they are filled with, and ulama have written, Allahu Akbar, Surah Fatiha's tafsir in 40 volumes. What was sarair are in there? So this all will come to a person when we make effort on this. And then the reality, then Allah will open. And those special secrets which Allah will bless a person, which he himself will enjoy. And there are many such things which you won't be able to explain to anyone. But you yourself are enjoying it inside all the time. And you can't explain how much Allah gives tawfiq, you can explain also. So this is when we will make our deen, we will make it a priority, and our rozas, we make them. So the roza, this wasawis which come to a person, when we change them. Then with the also to keep roza of the heart and the mind, with regard to pride. Pride is a killer disease. And pride is a mother of diseases. It's a killer disease also, worse than cancer anytime, worse than heart problem, worse than the virus at the moment is pride. And it is the mother of diseases. It gives the birth to other diseases again. For example, anger comes because of pride. And one type of pride which comes from this pride is ujub. One pride is that you think I'm better than other people. And others are bad, they are low, what they know. And who they so poor people, what they got, what they understand. I got lot money, I'm a rich man, I understand, I got knowledge, I'm a alim, I'm a hafiz, whatever. This pride that comes. And ujub, that you don't think anyone is bad, but I'm good. Just to think that I'm good. And this is also a common disease. That, and because of that, many fights between husband and wife, I didn't say anything wrong. I'm not wrong. I don't do any wrong things. I haven't done anything wrong. We can't see our faults because I'm right all the time. And everything, I'm right. And then, because of this, this is also haram. Just as pride is haram, takabbur, kibar is haram, ujub is also equally haram also. Though you're not thinking bad of other people, you're not looking down, but just to think yourself as good, that is ujub, and that is also haram. And the remedies, some of them we have explained, so a person has to worry about that also. And then this also gives birth to the other disease of being boastful. Now you actually show that out, and in various ways. And the more you are a crook in the clothes of being even a sheikh or being a pious person, but you go know how, like crooks, how they rob people. What things they use. Amazing stories which can't come into our mind, how they rob people. the nafs also in order to gain praises from people, in order to gain favors from people, to do things for name and fame in different ways, the nafs will work. So all this, and you'll become boastful also. But you'll cover it up in such a way that perhaps you yourself also don't know. This is only, as it comes in the hadith, that whom Allah loves, Allah opens his faults to him. Then that person sees his faults. But till a person doesn't see his faults, and he thinks other people are all faulty all the time, till that person, till that time, a person can't progress. And in fact, presently, with all the crisis the ummah is going through, not the virus is on its way, that's one thing. But the ummah, our masjids are being closed, curfews are being imposed, taraweeh is not being allowed, all the distancing and the anti-sunnah, the ways that are being imposed upon us, all this is one basic, that I'm not seeing my fault, I'm seeing the fault of the governments who are imposing it. I am seeing the fault of the modernist Muslims, whether they are the scholars of Islam or whether they are the mutawallis, the trustees. I am seeing everyone else's faults, but I am not seeing my fault. And when a person will see his own fault, he'll become concerned about himself. When you notice, till you don't know, there is something in your nose. Till you don't know, there is something in your beard. You will be looking at the faults of other people. But when you see in the mirror, oh, my nose, there is something, then you'll first thing you'll be worried about yourself. So the minute a person realizes I am wrong, then he'll be worried of correcting. And if everyone understands this, the whole world will be corrected. That we just understand that I'm wrong. But today, even if I give bayan, I'm the imam of the masjid, the pesh imam, the main imam in the masjid. And when I give, my object, my work is to correct everyone. Okay? One person wrote to his sheikh and wrote all the work he's doing. I'm doing this work, I'm doing that work. Sheikh wrote, if you wrote a little bit, that what work you're doing on yourself, how much of your own islah are you doing? And if you wrote a little bit of that, that should make me much more happier than all this other work you are doing. Lot of work you are doing, but weigh the work on yourself, and it should start with yourself. And not all the time confined to yourself and you forget everyone. No, especially if you're an alim, then you have to work on other people also. So just a concern all the time about ourselves. Allah reward many of our friends, mashallah. They are always concerned more about themselves. They're doing all the work of deen also, and that is where it should start. But generally it is, we want to correct everyone. Everyone else is at fault. I don't see my own fault. And I see the faults of everyone. And I'm more concerned of other people than I'm concerned about myself. So this also is a very important aspect that we have to correct. One very important thing with regard to the heart and the mind is our anger. This is also one illegitimate child of pride. Pride is illegitimate itself, haram. And the illegitimate child of that, how haram isn't that? And this anger is such a thing. Allahu Akbar. We know what and what happens in anger. A person pulls a trigger in anger. A person blurts out, not one talaq, but he says, I give you a mountain full of talaqs. In the kitabs of fiqh, what words they use, that I give you 1,000 talaqs, I give you so many talaqs. All that, in anger when a person is, he says, what? To that woman, when he married her, how she was so dear to him. What and what he didn't do. Today, how bitter it has become, because he didn't fix up his heart. Now that woman, he has become so bitter towards her, and he gives her talaq. And this with regard to talaq, many people when they go to the alim, mufti sahab, they say that I gave it in anger. In other words, so it shouldn't take effect. Okay? Whereas talaq and it setting free a slave in all conditions, whether you do it happily or whether you do it angrily or whatever, but the talaq falls. So if it is in anger, and you say the talaq didn't fall, then when you pull the trigger and the person has died, so now that bullet also shouldn't kill the person. because you didn't do it in your proper mind. You did it in your anger you did it. So like how that bullet has an effect, that talaq in anger also has got an effect. And the three talaqs you gave, and you made your wife with the bullet, she's dead. And with three bullets, he'll become deader and deadest. Eh? And with talaq also the same thing. And Allah reward our ulama, what great ulum they gave. One person, he gave his wife talaq, and they said that he's a mental case. So the talaq doesn't fall. And our Mufti Sahib, Mufti Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib, Rahmatullah, our Ustad, he had to make a nikah in lands in the Jami Masjid, and there they surrounded Mufti Sahib. That he said that talaq is fallen. And they came now with all the proof. They say he's a mental case, so his talaq he gave, it can't have effect. So Mufti Sahib called for him and asked him that when you gave this talaq, how did you give it? It was known to all over the telephone. He says, who made the telephone call? Those old telephones of those days. So he said, I made it. So he says, did you press any numbers and it went or what? So he says, no, specific numbers. And then who picked up the phone? Your mother-in-law. You gave her the talaq? No. You called for your wife. So if you have got so much of mental capability that you knew which numbers to press, and you didn't give the talaq to your mother-in-law, you called for your wife, and you gave her. So your mind is in order. That whatever they will tell you, the other government, the other mental people, they will tell you that you're a mental case. But according to Shariat, you are mukallaf. You know all these things and you did it. So to understand all this, so it plays a lot of tricks on us. This anger is such a thing. And how shaitan misleads a person. For somebody told shaitan that all this havoc you are causing in the world and all these problems. He says, I don't do all this. He says, you responsible for it. He says, no, I don't. Where I've got the time? And shaitan is such a busy man. Our sheikh used to say, قِيلُوا فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا تَقِيلُوا. Make qailula. Shaitan doesn't make qailula. So in order, khaliful yahud wa nasara wa khaliful shaitan kazali. That we should make qailula. Is sunnat. And qailula is from a minute to an hour. Not all the time that our asar also goes and everything. No, just a little bit. Just putting the head down. It has a great, great, great benefits in there also. So anyway, shaitan is a very busy man. He hasn't got time to mislead, to be musallat on one person. He has to mislead so many people. So shaitan said, all I do, for example, I put a drop of syrup on the wall. That's all, and I carry on. Seeing the drop of syrup, a fly goes to suck on that syrup. Seeing the fly, a lizard goes for the fly. Seeing the lizard, a cat goes for the lizard. Seeing the cat, the dog comes. The dog goes for the cat, and now the neighbor's dog comes. And the two dogs start fighting. When the two dogs start fighting, now because two dogs are fighting, hayawan, janwar, animals, now ashraful makhlukat start fighting. The two neighbors are fighting now. Because of the, and in the heat of all that argument and fight, one person pulls out a firearm. He pulls the trigger and one person is lying dead. Now that family is without a breadwinner. This person is arrested and is in jail. This family is without a breadwinner. And because of that, the children are becoming delinquents now. The women are now compelled to do other gunas now. Or there's no husband. What and what just from one drop of syrup. So how shaitan works, and a person has to be on guard that right, this is what Sharia says. And the ulama, rasikhin, they always, right from the root, Allah Ta'ala didn't say anywhere in the Quran, do not commit zina. Allah said, la taqrabu zina. Do not even go near zina. Allah didn't say very little, one or two places perhaps, that you must make namaz. Allah Ta'ala said, aqimu salah. Namaz with its perfection, all the surrounding things of namaz must be also there. your zina, not that you just save yourself, but after whatever will lead you to zina also. So like that, and this is what is the tarbiyat, and before it wasn't only the ulama or the mashayikh, but our old people, our parents, grandparents, they used to see to all the things that can lead you to this also. And today, we our nature is, give the children freedom. That way of thinking and that way of life is that you allow, you light the fire, and then you say, look after the fire, don't let it go out of control. And according to Shariat and Deen and the proper way, don't light the fire, so you don't have to worry of anything is going to burn. They will say, let boys and girls play together, go together on excursions, but control them. You must control your nafs. You must mix with women, everyone, but you must control yourself. And if butter doesn't melt in front of fire, then it's not butter. You mixing with women at the offices, workplace, everything, and it doesn't have an effect on you, either you are lying or you're not a man. You are some other thing. Whatever is that thing, whatever it might be. But you're not a man if you don't melt in front of a woman. There's never very natural nature. So the precautions all must be taken. That cow that grazes on the border, very soon is going out of the border also. And that cow that grazes right in the middle, that cow is safe. So all our, to look after our iman, our faraiz, to look after our faraid are the wajibat, sunnat muakkada, ghair muakkada, mustahabbat, nawafil. Look after all of them, then your iman will get looked after. And if you are breaking all the surrounding boundaries, then finally it will come right on iman. So this anger also is one thing, that if we keep our rozas, and we keep roza of the heart, from there the pride comes, and pride, it brings this anger in a person. And in some people themselves, when you're angry, you hate yourself also. And afterwards you definitely hate yourself. In your anger you did this, in your anger you did that. And how many people, their own children, wife bashing, children, how they treat them, all in anger. In fact, a ustad is not allowed, or anyone, to give punishment according to Shariat when he's angry. Punishment you are allowed to give, but not when you are angry, because you are most probably going to exceed the limit in your anger when you're going to give the punishment. So you should give it when you're not angry. Think properly, what is the suitable punishment? And not because of your nafs you're giving it, but because of the tarbiyat of that person, to correct that person. So we should get all the other aspects. And if we keep our rozas properly, Allah will bless us with this. And then the rozas will become valuable. The rozas will deliver its goods. That is, with taqwa we will get that. And when a person has got taqwa, a muttaqi, all the other fadail, that how Allah Ta'ala helps a muttaqi. Besides that, he will become beloved in everyone's eyes. That this person, Allahu Akbar, we see the sahaba, one sahabi who was taken as a prisoner, and the child in which house they put him in, and he asked for a razor, and then the child of that family was in his lap, and when the housewife saw this, she got a shock that he's got a razor and our baby is in his lap. He said, don't worry, we are not those people that will do anything wrong with your child, that will harm the child. You want to harm us, but we won't harm your child. And there are so many lessons to be learned. This is all, otherwise, in a state of anger at that case, a person will want to harm that innocent child also. So this is when all these qualities come into us, then we will see that all our matters will be sorted out, and it will be corrected. So this is that month that Allah has given us, that we correct ourselves. We keep our roza, keep roza of the mind and the brain, occupy it with tilawat of Quran, the main ibadat in this month. Quran Sharif has got a great, great connection, and with zikrullah, with du'as, we occupy it, and these other thoughts, don't let them come. And the anger Allah has given us, roza on the one side, And usually a hungry man is an angry man. But Allah has given us this, that in your roza you control yourself. And if we keep that rozas properly, our fast, we keep them properly, and our anger comes under control, eyes come under control, tongue comes under control, what we hear, and today we hear with our eyes also. That is on the phone, all the messages, before they were vocal, and still vocal also you get, but you are all the time seeing them, you'll get control. And a person who gets saved of all these things, his own life, Jannah's life comes to him here in this dunya. In his family he will start getting. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. It's Allah's kalam, of Allah's kalam in the Quran Sharif, not in the Torah and Zubur, the greatest kitab. And then with so much of ta'keed, Allah's kalam, with lam ta'keed, noon thaqeela ta'keed, how much of stress, definitely. And the tarjuma Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi makes, mazedar zindagi, an enjoyable life you will give, you will get. So yeah, this is the occasion, this is the month. Let us make this little effort and see that enjoy. Then of course, 100% our enjoyment won't be in birthday parties. And what kind of birthday parties? It must have of Muslim people I'm speaking. People who are in deen, women who are in burqa, men who are in namaz, with beards. Our birthday parties we have. And that birthday party must have a theme. And the theme of, what were themes? Halloween. And the women, all those women who are in parda come dressed like witches for that. Where are we? Just the outward form of deen. And today what? Jean cloaks. Like jeans. And one lady, old lady, worker lady, she says this girls and women wearing jeans and boots. You say jean and boot. So what you will get? Boot is a spook, all the spooks and that. And jean effect. You're wearing the jeans and all the things, they're wearing that boots and that. For Qurbani special. All the pious women buy boots because you're going to make Qurbani. So all this boot and jean. So that is all that is having effect on us. So Allah Ta'ala, let us just spend the month properly. Allah give me tawfiq first. I'm the most in need. Reasonably, we are not perfect. We are weak. And we are full of faults all the time. But just that inclination and Allah's help comes to a person. Realize the value of every moment. Try and make it valuable. And don't allow the jinn to come in effect. Don't allow wasawis to come in. We do what we have to do. Keep ourselves occupied with the right thing. Our conversation, our thoughts, when we go in sleep, we should go in sleep such a way that we hardly finished our simple brief du'as, and we already fell asleep. Afterwards we realized I hardly completed my du'as and I fell asleep. Not that we are now fantasizing, and now we are working out all things in our mind, and what, and we're not getting sleep. No, sleep just comes to a person. And then as soon as the sleep is finished, your eyes open, get up, get busy again. Don't carry on unnecessarily sleeping. Allah give us tawfiq to make our Ramadan valuable, our time valuable, and see how valuable we will become. And we will become valuable in the eyes of the people who got value. Why we want to make ourselves valuable in the eyes of people who don't know what's value? People who think the wrong things are valuable. We want to become valuable in their eyes. Become valuable in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Become valuable in the eyes of the ulama and mashayikh. Not in the eyes of those people who walk around naked and who are murdering and who are killers and who are terrorists, and in their eyes we want to become valuable. No. And this is the month that will make us valuable. Allah give us all tawfiq, and let us appreciate this month, and let we get what we are supposed to get from this month.